WASD report coming out this morning that didn't show a lot of change. We're going to dive into that. You're listening to the American Ag Network, and good afternoon. I'm Susan Littlefield. Joining us, Mike Zuzulo. Mike is with Global Commodity Analytics. So let's break down, Mike, what you're seeing in these WASD numbers.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be said about what USDA didn't do for the export demand side of the equation, Susan, when it comes to where we're at with corn versus beans. They changed literally no numbers whatsoever when it came to exports or ending stocks in corn, beans, or wheat domestically. So we're sitting where we were last month. And speaking of last week, we're in a situation where, as we saw the weekly export inspections come through on Monday, up until last week, we've got a situation where the soybean exports year to date on physical inspections are sitting down 42%. USDA has us down 20% for the marketing year. Flip the coin over, and we've got corn that USDA has us up 15.5% for the marketing year. Our actual corn exports now are up over 41%. So I was disappointed that USDA didn't bump up our corn exports and bump down the soybean exports on the 25-26 numbers domestically. That was point number one. Point number two would be USDA found a lot of old crop corn in the world numbers. We saw the beginning stocks for 25-26 jump 1.5 million metric tons. That was almost completely on the idea that feed was reduced for 24-25 by 1.5 million tons. And then USDA came in and threw about 1.7 million extra tons of corn into Ukraine's production number, and we saw that production go up about the same. So net-net, we saw over a 3 million metric ton swing when it came to the 25-26 numbers, and therefore the ending stocks went from 289 to 292.75. And to me, again, that's kind of numbers that I don't know if they really matter at this point because that marketing year is over, but it didn't look good on the supply-demand fundamentals. Fortunately, we did not have to deal with a lot of that today, mainly because, you know, all eyes continue to be on the outside markets.
So speaking of those outside markets, dollars down, silver and gold recuperating. What do you see the tie back when you look at this tag?
Yeah, and this is in the context of, number one, we're talking about a supply shock. And so that's what you look at when you're an analyst in commodities, and you're especially oil and energy. Is there's tons of historical data and books that have been written on supply shocks, especially in the oil markets, because of our heavy reliance upon Middle East oil. But the question you have when the supply shock happens, and you see crude oil yesterday go up to its highest level since mid-2022, then at that same time, wheat was trading $12 to $13 a bushel, not six and a half. When you go up that fast and that hard, you start to wonder to yourself, how hard am I rationing demand against this perceived loss of supply? And more importantly, am I creating an environment where there's going to be greater chances for a big recession and demand gets shut down as opposed to a near-term inflation push, and the investment community buys everything like they have been doing? So I don't like this type of price action when you go sharply higher, because history would suggest, especially with oil, you're only going to take up consumer price and the consumer price index a little bit for a very short period of time, but you're going to do a lot more long-term damage and push yourself into a recession most likely and really hurt the demand side of the equation. So on today's trade, I really like the fact that even though the crude oil is pulling back 15 to 20%, and back below $80 a barrel as we speak, the dollar is down hard, the gold and silver are back up hard. That's the kind of market I really like. So I'm walking away from Tuesday's trade with the idea I can take the WASD report, especially given the wheat weather, the hardwood wheat weather with cold, dry weather coming in, and I can take it especially given those outside markets.
So looming in the back of everything that's going on has got to be this weather. You and I were talking before we started recording today that, You know, this storm system that moved through on Friday, we got less than 20 hundredths here on our farm. There's a lot of folks that are missing out on the rain. We've got dryness. Now we've got a cold snap moving in. Big concerns when it comes to the hard red wheat.
It's extremely big, and it's especially big because, as we talked about after the no-till conference that I did out in eastern Colorado, this wheat really didn't go into dormancy at all, and so it's going to need extra moisture. And, you know, we're talking about Hutchinson, Kansas, so the heart of the hard red wheat belt, all the way down to Enid, Oklahoma, essentially, and obviously Colby, Kansas, and up in your area of southern Nebraska, you have a lot of wheat as well. But you're talking about in Hutchinson, Kansas, for instance, being 80 degrees today, and then on Sunday morning, a low of 29, and on Monday morning, a low forecasted to be 23 degrees with essentially less than a quarter inch of rain. And this is on top of the fact that these last updates for the wheat production for winter wheat, Susan, were 80% in drought in the winter wheat side of the equation, both hard red and soft red. I talked to a client in soft red country back in Indiana, and he talked about how bad his situation is as far as the drought. Everybody thinks they got a lot of snow back there, and they did, but they're still in a very serious drought. That may get better for the soft red wheat country, but this upcoming week, with 80% of the winter wheat production in drought versus 54% a year ago, we're at a critical phase here where we've got to feed that wheat with some moisture, especially if we're going to have a lot colder weather.
Switch gears a little bit to look at this livestock side. Cattle market had a stumble yesterday within the trade action. Boy, they grabbed their bootstraps today and popped right back up.
Yeah, two things in the cattle market that I think is real valuable is even with the corn market down and the Wall Street market sharply higher, those two features are much more predominant in the investor mindset, the funds versus the fundamentals. The funds care much more about that than they do, say, the expected March 16th strike at the JBS Greeley plant. That is really important to watch, because if the stock market continues to go higher and the corn doesn't go higher on drought fears with the wheat, then the livestock, especially the cattle, probably have some support underneath them. I think even more importantly is the WASDE report coming out today took the 2026 commercial beef production down another 110 million pounds, and they also took prices up again. For the first quarter, they added $2. Second quarter, they went from $2.38 to $2.41. They added another $2 in the third quarter to $2.42. They kept the fourth quarter the same at $2.45. So really good, strong numbers, and that was predominantly on both lower production, and we are going to see some higher imports and lower exports, but really underpinning this market fundamentally is that continued tight cash market. And that's where, again, the drought really comes into play here as to whether we can really keep the weights up if we have a significant drought in cattle and hard red wheat country this summer.
All right, Mike Zuzulo joining us this afternoon. A quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That is the Tuesday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.